continuing our conversation with George Cathy of Isley's Home Services. You are kind of wrapping up our plumbing month here at Rosie on the House. And you know, as we talk about the topic of plumbing, it stimulates a lot of questions. And we've received a bunch. So we're just going to go through the most popular questions here that have been asked in this plumbing month and let you answer them. Then we'll take all that, transcribe it, put it into our do-it-yourself database at rosieonthehouse.com and just help build out our entire network of knowledge and information that goes into our website that can be used during the week. Because if you have a plumbing question, well, a lot of times you can't always wait till a Saturday to get it answered. Well, that's where you would just go to rosieonthehouse.com, select homeowner resources, do-it-yourself database, and it's broken down by category. And we'll start with water heaters. The one thing we hardly spent any time, really acknowledging or covering, is solar water heaters. Pretty irrelevant in our opinion.
Yeah. I don't know if you get a good return on investment for what they cost. They don't heat the water any better, any faster, or any worse than a electric or gas water heater. So,
a lot more line to break, a lot more maintenance. It's if you're going to go solar for the power supply.
Exactly.
Use that power supply to heat your tanked water heater, your traditional water heater.
That would make a lot more sense and be a lot more cost effective. The lifespan of a solar water heater, it's not going to last any longer than a traditional water heater.
So solar water heaters, kind of a, you know, it's one of those things that there could be an aha invention. Somebody could revolutionize it, find a new way, and there's a chance that at some point it could be something that makes itself relevant again.
Yep.
Just right now, we're not in the point where...
Yeah, and, it's just not there yet.
And the efficiency that the new water heaters are built with and how they heat it and the insulation value on retaining the heat inside, it's a hard sell.
Exactly. I agree.
Broken handle on the toilet. That one's pretty easy.
Usually what happens is people go, you know, walk up to the toilet, they hit the lever, nothing happens. It could be the handle itself broke. It could be the chain on the flapper. The easiest thing to do is just take the lid off, take a look in there, and see what's going on. Sometimes the handle isn't adjusted right. You have to hold the handle down in order to make the toilet flush. I mean, these are all minor adjustments that if you just take the time to take a look in there, a lot of times it's obvious that there's too much slack on the chain, the chain's too long, too short, whatever the case. Just make those adjustments, and it should work just fine.
It's one of those situations that can cause panic, but but you really don't need, because you can manually do it. If the chain's broken or if the handle's broken, if the extension rod's broken, you can still manually flush it and then worry about fixing it later if you do need to buy a replacement part.
And if you do attempt to replace it yourself, just remember that those threads on those toilet handles are reversed. I've seen a lot of people crack their tank from turning it the wrong way, and you can keep tightening it until it cracks. So remember, the threads are reversed, so you have to go the opposite. Instead of lefty, loosey, righty, tighty, it's the opposite.
It's
of that.
The opposite. And to manually flush it, all the user would have to do is...
You stick your hand in there. It's clean water, so no need to worry. You stick your hand in there, you grab the flapper, you lift it up, and the water will go down.
Now, the water that gets into the tank of the toilet is the same water that's coming out your kitchen sink or your bathroom faucet. It's the same water supply line. So it's, and in the tank, before it goes to the bowl, it's just as clean.
Yeah, it's clean.
So just pick up that rubber flap. On that rubber flap, the water will drain just as normal. And at that point, you have the option, you can turn the water supply off. Leave the lid over the top of the toilet just to indicate to anyone else coming that
it's
out of service.
Yep. I got something. These waterless urinals.
Okay.
Do y'all install them in homes for people that are looking to save water?
I haven't seen a lot of urinals in homes. I have seen it. It's very, very rare. We do install them in commercial applications. And the way it works is just a cartridge that goes inside of it, and it comes with a chemical that you put inside the cartridge. The best way I can explain it is it's kind of like oily, and it sits on top of the water, and that's what keeps the odor down. So, you know, as someone uses the urinal, it kind of creates a barrier so that the smells, sewer gases.
Goes down the drain, doesn't use any water.
Yep, exactly. And all it does is just keeps the stink out.
That's important.
Yep.
And I don't see those being popular in homes where it's it might be a Jack and Jill bathroom. You know, if you've got a master bathroom where you've got a his and her side, I could see maybe you would start seeing those in some big customs. But, man, it's just – it's not attractive. It's,
I think I've seen it twice ever, and it is a really big custom home, like you said.
Yeah.
The angle was the waterless part. Yeah. That's what was fascinating to me because I've seen quite a few of those. I figured – maybe, I don't know, maybe that Randy Johnson house probably had one or two of them.
Next to the gym.
Yeah.
Toilets that run. You flush it and it just seems to sound like it runs forever.
It could be a couple of causes. It could be a flapper, like we talked about earlier. If the flappers get warped, which is usually caused by those tablets that people put into the tank to try to keep the toilet flushed. The little chlorine tablets or
turns
the blue
it blue
dye
or
turns
whatever.
It blue, yeah. Those things ruin rubber pretty quick. So it can warp the flapper and let water go down. As the water is draining out of the tank, the toilet fill valve kicks on and wants to refill it. Another thing is if the fill valve is failing to shut off for whatever reason, it's stuck. There's a piece of sediment in there that's keeping it from closing. The water level can rise and overflow down the overflow tube. If you lift the lid up, you'll see a little tube, and it's pretty much to catch the overflow water. So those are the two most common causes of a running toilet.
And then when the valves shut off, whether it's to a toilet or a shower head, faucet, washing machine, any water-using appliance, other than probably your ice maker, that clink that you hear a lot of times.
The water hammer, it's most common on what we call fast-acting valves. A toilet is a fast-acting valve because they usually fill up and shut off pretty quick and you get a hammering sound. Faucets, if you slam the handle closed, or showers, if you have the kind of you push and pull, if you push them in to close them and they shut real fast, it can make a hammering sound. There's a couple of things you can do about that. You can try to add hammer arresters on the fixture or near the fixture. Sometimes it could be a loose pipe that we may take a little bit of exploring for someone to go around and see what pipe is banging around if it needs to be strapped down.
This is an unpleasant one. Is there anything we do about the drain sound for a two-story home? You know, if and that I have been in those situations where in a two-story home, someone uses the toilet or the shower. And everyone, and it's like everyone else in the entire home knows what you're doing. You can hear the water traveling over your head, coming down the wall. Is there any way to insulate or muffle that?
That's a tough one.
Turn up your music.
Yeah. Insulation is definitely worth trying. What we did when I was doing new construction is any vertical risers that was on a two-story house like that, we would use cast iron. Because it's a lot quieter than the plastic pipes, and it kind of tends to keep the sound down.
But a lot of people, especially in track homes, where you're saving every cost you can, that's PVC the whole way.
Exactly. And it could be a hard one. It could be expensive to cut open the drywall and insulate it.
Oh, yeah.
It may be something that
pumps the foam. So that may be a tip if you're home shopping and it's two-story. Have somebody stay downstairs while somebody flushes the upstairs and just see how that drain system is configured. And you're probably cheapest just installing some kind of indoor water feature.
Yeah.
That has like a trickling sound in the corner. Little white noise to muffle
take
that.
Take your mind off of the other sound.
Now, I've got to ask you this. And when we're talking new installs, copper versus PEX, what's y'all's preference? What have you seen?
They both have their benefits. I'm more of I prefer copper just because it's been proven. It's been around a long time. PEX has applications for if someone has a slab leak and you need to reroute a new water line, PEX is very good for that. It does have insulating qualities of it. It is a little bit quieter than copper because sometimes you can hear the water lines running. Or you can hear water running in the walls and copper pipes. PEX tends to be a little bit quieter. It's more resistant to freezing.
You're sold one way or the other.
I don't know if I'm sold one way or the other. PEX is a lot easier and quicker to install and retrofit. If I was to build a house from the ground up, I would put copper in my house.
And designed well, you can get the same kind of pressure that PEX is designed to give you, the way there's no angles or corners in PEX. It's supposed to keep a good, strong flow of water pressure, where you end up, in some cases, with a lot of little angles for copper.
Exactly.
That's poorly designed. Well, every bend just is a water reduction point.
Exactly. And that's one of the benefits of PEX. You can eliminate a lot of joints, and most of the leaks happen at joints. So if you can cut down on the amount of joints you have, you can cut down on the potential for leaks.
Now, when we're doing those retrofits, this question comes in all the time, is we see them run in attics that don't then get the lines insulated, and homeowners are stuck all summer long without getting cold water or just wasting a ton of water waiting for the water that's underneath the street coming in from the city. But that I don't know how many gallons of water that fills up to the pipe supply line. That's a lot of wasted water.
Yeah, our water lines out here are pretty shallow compared to other parts of the country, so it can pick up a lot of heat. And pipes running in the attic as well. So if you have lines in the attic and you're having a hard time getting cold water, definitely look into getting those lines insulated.
In my house, I refer to that as solar heating during the summer.
It's free.
It's beneficial, but man, we've got longer summers than we do winters.
Exactly.
That's another area for, I see innovation, because that can be an expensive task to get up there and insulate. In a lot of cases, especially when we're talking about PEX lines that have these arcs and everything, filling up the entire attic with insulation isn't practical either. That's very counterintuitive, especially if you've got mechanical equipment. There's room for innovation, and we've got water heaters.
Water chillers. I've thought about that. I just have to come up with a way to invent it.
The invent it, getting it to market, and making it price point match, meeting the market demand. Because it's more expensive to cool it and keep it cool, but people are going to have it in their mind that it should be relatively close to the same cost as a water heater. So it's going to be.
Yeah.
But there's room for innovation here. All right, we've got one final segment coming up with Mr. George Cathley of Isley's Home Services, a Rosie on the House partner for the last couple of years. But y'all have been servicing Arizona homeowners for over 60 years.
Yep, since 1957.
1957. That's one thing we love about our network, is the longevity of the partners. The average lifespan, I haven't finished calculating this, but the average life of years in business that our partners are is over 20 years.
So that's a really good track record.
It's all here at Rosie on the House.